The whole book of Ecclesiastes, it's full of regrets. That is, the things you are aspiring to do or to become in life. In the book of Ecclesiastes, you will be seeing how foolish those things are already. This is one of the things that makes it unprofitable. He said, one generation passed away, and another generation come, and the earth abided forever. So as we are now, in the next 100 years, none of you will be here again, and another set of people will come. And the set of people, when they come, they will feel that nobody has ever existed. They will act like just the way you are acting now. You know, when you grow old now, I'll be telling your children, there's nothing in this life. They will say, Mama, leave it. They don't know that you were very fine when you were young. Just the same way you don't know that your mother was very fine when she was young. The deception is that when you come, you now start feeling like the happening chick. You just feel like, oh, this is my time. I have to enjoy everything. Have you slept with Igbo girl before? No, I have not. I have to sleep with Igbo girl this week. Have you slept with Yoruba girl before? No, I've not tried that before. Let me try that this week. Have you slept with a Hausa girl before? No, I've not. Hi, let me try that this week. And the funny thing is that you will doing a lot of things in life, and you'll be thinking in yourself that I've used that girl. And the girl is thinking, I've used you. Nobody really knows who uses who, but the devil knows that he's using two of you. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth in knowledge increaseth in sorrow. So whenever anybody chases wisdom and there's no God in it, it ends up in madness. That is why Paul said, that I may know you and the power of your resurrection. Not to know wisdom, not to know madness, not to know foolishness, not to know what the world is doing, but to know you, that I may know you and the power of your resurrection. Guide my step, Lord Jesus, into righteousness. I'll be talking to you from Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 is where we'll be reading from. I'll be preaching on what I call the regrets of a sharp man. The regrets of a sharp man. Sit down. Tell somebody, are you a sharp man? Tell somebody, are you a sharp man? Alright, tell someone, get ready for the regrets of the sharp man. Alright, now the word of the preacher. The word of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Now, let me start. The word Ecclesiastes means the preacher. Somebody say the preacher. Yeah, so, and it's just like a story of a bad boy turning a preacher. I hope you know who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. Are you aware? Who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? Alright, Solomon. It's actually Solomon's wisdom. And you find it that he calls himself the preacher here. This is a jab guy who went around, got a lot of concubines, got a lot of wives, married for himself, very many people, did a whole lot of things. Last, he's now in the pastor school. He's calling himself the preacher. And he starts analyzing on his regrets. The whole book of Ecclesiastes is a book that you have to understand and love, because it's full of regrets. That is, the things you are aspiring to do or to become in life. In the book of Ecclesiastes, you will be seeing how foolish those things are already. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hello, do you get what I'm saying? It's like somebody is going into the university and he says, when I go into the university, that I go to a club, I go to do this. And you now see someone who's graduating and the person said that if I did not club, I would have had a better grades. If I didn't do this, I would have had a better time in the school and all of that. So it's all a book of regrets. And it's not really a regret from somebody who's foolish. So you can't say that this Solomon, had the mistakes that he did, or he got into what he got into because he didn't have enough wisdom. If it was me, I would have been smarter than Solomon or whatever. You can't even say that because Solomon was called a wise man. The Bible said that there is none that is as wise as Solomon, and there'll never be any that will be as wise as him. That is why Jesus is not even called a wise man, but is called the wisdom of God. A wise man is a man who has wisdom. Wisdom is the cause, and being wise is the effect. Do you understand? Oh, I just got you off. As a wisdom is the cause, being wise is the effect. Do you understand? Okay, wisdom is the real thing. Being wise is somebody who has wisdom. You understand? Oh, you still don't understand? It depends on what score you had in your jump. Okay, it's like fire and heat. Fire is the main thing, but fire produces heat. And you won't find the heat without the fire. Do you understand? So wisdom is the source. It's like the fire. Being wise is a source, is a reflection from having wisdom. If somebody says to you, it's just like a life and having life. That's why if you say God is alive, we will pardon you for not having what to say or not knowing what to say. Because if you say God is alive, what you're saying is that God has life, whereas that's wrong. God doesn't have life. God is life. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if I say you are alive, I mean that you have God inside of you that makes you to breathe. Do you get what I'm saying? So that is why in heaven we will not be breathing oxygen, because it will be an insult to breathe oxygen when the source of life is around. Oh God, these guys don't understand the scripture. Do you understand what I'm teaching you at all? If you don't understand, just write them down. Go back and think about it. You will understand. So what I'm saying is that Jesus is called the wisdom of God, and anybody who is wise has a broken piece of the main thing. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand something at all? So that's it. Okay, so this man now who has wisdom, he's now becoming really wise. But first, he was tricked into wisdom. You know, he asked God for wisdom. God gave him wisdom. And he became so, so wise until he started exploring a lot of things and started checking very many things. Check verse 2 for us. Yeah, he said, vanity of vanities, said the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He started by preaching. He said, no matter what I say in this preaching, my aim is for you to see vanity. Another word for vanity is unsatan. How vanity or how unsatan, which other word can I give to you? Another word for vanity is chasing the smoke. How empty, another word is empty. How chasing the shadow is another word. So he's saying, imagine how life is chasing the shadow. So Solomon is saying that life is what? Chasing the shadow. So he said everything in life, you're just chasing the shadow. Because now he has tested being the wisest man. He has become the greatest in-law in the whole Bible. The greatest son-in-law in the whole Bible. He's a son-in-law to almost all the countries. God is married to very many wives, 700, and had very many concubines. So he's like the greatest sugar daddy. He was like the biggest sugar daddy in the whole Bible. Which other thing? He's like the greatest slave king in the Bible. He just said, "Dah, I've wasted my life. I've chased shadows." May you not chase shadows in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go to verse 3. Verse 3. What profit had a man of all his labors which he taketh under the sun? I was teaching you on how to make profit. Share? So he's now saying, what profit is it? What profit is it for a man in all of his labor? What's the gain? That's to say, he's saying that I've explored girls. What's the profit? I have done this. What's the profit? And this young guy, one of the things that shocked me is that he had singers, he had musicians that he has paid who are in his compound and sing for him. Like he would see Davido, very nice, and see Wizkid and pay to them. and tell him to be in his house and be singing for him. That's how powerful and how rich the guy was. He doesn't drink on glass cup. He drinks on like gold cup. Drinks water with gold cup. So now he's saying, of what profit is it to drink water with gold cup? Whether you are thirsty, it doesn't change how you are thirsty. And doesn't change how you feel. You see, when you meet some people who are public speakers, they'll tell you some clothes depict some things. When you wear a brighter cloth, it depicts happiness and all of that. When you wear purple, it depicts moodiness and so on. It shows you're depressed and so on. Forget, it's a lie. You can still wear yellow and look like the sun and be down, down, depressed. So, the regret of a sharp man. Let's get to the other one. What profit had a man had in all of his labor that he took it under the sun? What's the profit? Because I was teaching you, I said, for whatever thing that you are doing, check what's the profit of it. And the Bible says, what shall a man profit or what shall a man gain after he has gotten the whole world and lose his soul? So he's now saying that I've checked in this whole life, drinking water with a gold cup. One guy was talking about how hosting some musicians can be so burdensome. He said some of the musicians that you host, they come with about 5 people. And the 5 people are not doing anything. It's just one that holds his towel. The other one is holding his half of an AC. An AC that he has drawn. Half of it. The other one, when he's singing, he'll be holding mic to say, yo, 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 yo. The other two are just working with him. The DJ, now you still get the DJ. Now you go tell the DJ track 2. So, and later on, you pay the person like 10 million naira. The guy was lamenting and so on. So most times, you see, life makes you grave for such a thing. Say, that's what I want to be. All I want to be in life, that if I can just get to that point, if I can just have money like this kind of artist, if I can just have money like this person, I'll be fine. I will be okay. If I don't have money in this world, what do I gain and all of that? The preacher said, what is the profit? The profit is not how much you went into the market with. The profit is after you've sold everything. What's the interest? Do you understand? After you've sold everything, what's the interest? After you've explored the whole world, do all the things that you want to do. Enjoy all the whole world. Do all the miracles and nice things that you want to do. Sometimes you find some pastors who are very desperate to do miracles that they have to soil their hands. So after you've done all the miracles, madman is healed, lay hands on one dead person, 2 stood up. After you've done all of that, what's the profit? So you now see that the main profit is after this life, where will you spend your eternity? That's the main profit. There's no profit here in this world. When I finish teaching you on the book of this Ecclesiastes, you will see that one thing he keeps saying is that the rich and the poor, they have the same destiny. Their last destiny is that they open the grave and they bury all of them. So if all that you have was just in this world, you are gone. Yours has finished. No further profits. Do you understand? He said the wise and the foolish, they all have the same destiny. Their destiny is that they die and they lower the grave and they bury them. That makes it all. I'm talking about it in first class. That people that the school is advising you to go. You have pass. They encourage you to just leave. So you don't cause more problem. Because you've stayed in the school for too long. You may know how to hide and remove some of the security lights. So leave. So now, please, let's go back to the scripture. Don't remove the scripture. We'll be there. What profit had a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? All right, let's check verse 4. This is one of the things that makes it unprofitable. He said, one generation passed away, and another generation come, and the earth abided forever. So as we are now, in the next 100 years, none of you will be here again. This whole world is going to be flushed, and another set of people will come. And the set of people, when they come, they will feel that nobody has ever existed. They will act like just the way you are acting now. They will act like they are the most chickest babe. You know, when you grow old now and be telling your children, there's nothing in this life. They will say, Mama, leave it. They don't know that you were very fine when you were young. Just the same way you don't know that your mother was very fine when she was young. So he said, one generation passed by, another cometh, and the earth abide. The earth remains the same. You just keep going. The deception is that when you come, you now start feeling like the happening chick. Oh! I think this world is more troublesome for girls more than guys. guys don't have much problem. It's the girls that have much problem. It's not. All of you have problems. So it's a one generation passed by. See, let me tell you something. Do you know 300 years ago, people were around like this, had more beautiful faces than you people. You know, Buhari's government has affected your face somehow. When you get into life, it's just like my song, I rush in just to grab them and enjoy all that I see. So when you get into life, you just feel like, oh, this is my time. I have to enjoy everything. Oh, ha, this, I have to do this. Have you slept with Igbo girl before? No, I have not. I have to sleep with Igbo girl this week. Have you slept with Yoruba girl before? No, I've not tried that before. Let me try that this week. Have you slept with Hausa girl before? No, I've not. Kai, let me try that this week. Just like that. That's how life is pushing you into. At the end, it's just nothing. You just saw that what you were doing, you were rather destroying yourself than building yourself. There are people that after you have died, you discover that you only used 10 years of your life. The whole 60, you wasted it. The whole 60, you wasted it. It was a waste. You were just using your life to beat basketball. Your life was like a pad. You use it to beat basketball. And the funny thing is that you will doing a lot of things in life and you'll be thinking in yourself that I've used that girl. And the girl is thinking, I've used you. Nobody really knows who uses who. But the devil knows that he's using two of you. Let's check another one. The earth abided forever. The sun also arises and the sun goeth down and hasted to his place. That is Ron's father to his place. Where he rose. Okay? Get it? So he's using the life of the sun now to explain how our life is. That the sun comes in and before you know it, it goes back to where it comes from. The wind also goeth towards the south and turn it about unto the north. Okay. And continually at the wind also. Check the next one. And the river also run into the sea. Yes, the sea is not full unto the place from whence the river cometh from. Whither they return again. Next one. All things full of labor, man cannot alter. The eyes is not satisfied with what he's seeing, nor the ears feel with the hearing. All these things, after every of these things, all things full of labor, all things in the life full of labor, to even watch porn, you are laboring to watch it, everything full of labor, you are struggling. He said, after everything, the eyes is not satisfied with what he has seen. All he has seen is not satisfied. The ears is not even satisfied with what he has heard. So he's saying that in life, there is no satisfaction. How many of you have watched Blood Sisters? Is it the old one or the new one? You've watched the two.
Yes.
You watched the old one.
Yes.
What about the new one?
Yes.
You see, even when you watch the old one, you're not still satisfied. Another one came out, the same name. You still want to watch. The eyes is not satisfied with what it sees. The ears is not satisfied with what it hears. That's how uncertain and how the world is. It's just like the grave. The grave is not satisfied with what he has taken. A grave can take a professor this week, and the next week he wants to take a medical doctor. Another week he wants to take a governor. Another week he wants to take a professor. He's not satisfied. That's how uncertain life is. So that shows the vanity of life, because sometimes you feel that if I get this girl for campus, I'm done. See, why I'm a flex is because I've not had the best girl. If I just get this girl, I'm done. And the devil give you the girl, and after that you still look wanting. You're still not satisfied. That's why, if you have not allowed God to deal with your lusts, and you feel marriage will come and deal with the lust, when you now have a wife that you will be able to, no, you will not be able to. Marriage will not deal with the lust. If the blood of Jesus cannot deal with it, forget it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, because the eyes is not satisfied with what he sees. Did you see that? The eyes is not satisfied with seeing. It's not satisfied. There are some people that the devil has stolen so much of your hearts that if you find a lady pass, and she has a little buttocks, you find yourself turning. And the person that you're talking to says, I'm talking to you. Oh, sorry, I was distracted. And later, as he's talking again, you are doing like this. After you have seen for 5 minutes and you now turn, your eyes is not still satisfied. Another person wants to pass, you still turn again. He tells us about the vanity of life. That's why some celebrities find it so difficult to marry. So difficult to marry. Do you know why? Their eyes is not satisfied with what they see. Their eyes is not satisfied with what they see. So they keep seeing this fair lady, and they felt that's the enough, or that's a very powerful one. And later on, they see another one. Before you know it, they see another one. Later on, they see another one. Before they know it, they see another one. They keep seeing and seeing and seeing, and they are not satisfied. So one day, they are believing that one day they will be able to marry somebody very, very, very beautiful in this life, and the most beautiful girl in this life. That's what they think. That they will marry the most beautiful girl in this life. And they keep checking, keep checking, and keep checking, and keep checking. And they keep seeing nothing. Because the more you see, the more you're not satisfied. So what Solomon is telling us here is that there is no satisfaction in earthly things. Tell your neighbor, there's no satisfaction in earthly things. Just give up. There's no satisfaction. Okay, so next verse, verse 9. The thing that had been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. No new thing under the sun. Everything that has been. What he's saying is that, you see, repercussions for evil, they are the same. That's what he's trying to explain. Repercussions for blessing is the same. Somebody saving God and God rewarding the person is the same. There's nothing new. Don't think that you will come and change the clock. As in, you will not save God and be rewarded by God. No, 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 no. It's the same. Whether you save God and get reward, or you don't save God and pay the price, it's the same. I met one young man. This young man had very strange encounter. Okay, this guy died and came back to life. When this guy died and came back to life, and he was so serious to God. He said he wants to be very serious with God. Do you know what it means for somebody to die and come back to life? He died and saw God, saw angels. He was standing on the throne. So they prayed for him to come back. The guy said, no. Now that he's coming back, that he doesn't want anybody to advise him, that he's now the one to advise somebody. Because have you seen angels before? He saw angels. He stood before the judgment throne. That no. He doesn't want anybody to really advise him. Anytime I get close to him, I said, you see how God brought you back to life. This is the second chance. He said, no. As you are advising me now, conscience is blaming me. Because I'm the one that should be advising people. You understand? Because of where God took me to and brought me back. You understand? He was actually standing at the judgment throne of God. And later on, he started hearing the voice of the people who are praying for him. And God said to him, he should return back. So he came back to life. Literally, something I witnessed with my eye. So he said, no. If you advise me now, my conscience, they blame me. Say now, something where I supposed to do. Naim, where you, they do. So make you not advise me. I don't appreciate the fact where you won't make a day good, but I want to advise people. You know, there are people you talk to, and you feel that they are repented, that you don't even need to worry them again. As I'm talking to you now, the guy doesn't even go to church again, doesn't even want to. So the other day I was telling him, you have to save God. I said, I just want to give myself a little break. He said, I want to give myself a little break. I said, you see, you don't need to save the devil. He said, no, I'm not saving the devil. I am neither saving God now, nor saving the devil. I said, no, there's no such fence. There's no such fence that if I don't save God, I don't save the devil, I can just stay somehow. Maybe there's no such fence. If you are not saving God, then automatically you are saving the devil. So I'm telling you that the devil has very many ways of drawing you back to the wall. He has very many enticements. I don't care even if you had an accident and everybody died in the bus and you were the only one left. You can still come back. And still not want to regard God. And still not want to regard God. Because the devil has really, really, really tried to make sure he occupied you with seeing things. And the Bible said, for the things that you see, you still will not get satisfied. The enemy has decided to get you so, so busy to do things and still not get satisfied. So this is the sharp man talking. Sharp man said, oh God, I see things and I was not satisfied. I did things and everything remained the same. All right, 10. Okay, is there anything thereof? It may be said. See, this is new. It had been already of old time, which was before us. He says, is there anything that you now say that this is a new thing? We have discovered a new thing. All the homo people, homosexuals, they feel that we have discovered a new way. We have discovered a new way to enjoy ourselves. All these girls, where they break our hearts, we have discovered a new way. Go and open the Bible. Romans chapter 1. They were more there. They were there. So it's nothing new. Some girls will say, we have discovered a new way to get off from heartbreak. We've now discovered how to make love with ourselves. Go and check Sodom and Gomorrah. So there's nothing that we can say that it is new. They have already been there. They've already been there. Ask two girls. They've already been there in the time of old. Just that the name of the school changed. They've already been there. Sugar mommy something. They've already been there. Go and ask Joseph. Go and ask Joseph and the Potiphar's wife. They've already been there. What sin are you going to invent that has not been there before? They've been there. Sleeping with animal. They've been there a long time. The next verse. There is no remembrance of former things. Neither shall there be remembrance of the things that are to come with those that shall come after. What he's saying here is that, you know, there are times people want to do something to make name. They say, "Da, I want to make name for this school. When I leave this school." I remember when we were in secondary school, the things we used to write in the wall. Father, may you forgive us. How many people used to write rubbish on the wall of their secondary school? With candle. Or charcoal. Or marker. Captain Jasper was here. He came forth conquered. With F9, no? Which other person had a very nice nickname? Stagger. Stagger was here. This republic will never forget Stagger. Rubbish. There shall be no remembrance of the former. It's just like people coming into this wall and they said, "Da, I want to really make name for this wall. I want to really do this. I want to." When you die, you have died. No remembrance. If people study history, they just study for just study's sake. In fact, some schools now, they don't study history again. They just study for study's sake. No remembrance of that. I was teaching on what? The vanity of legacy. The vanity of legacy. So I was explaining that whether you make a name or you don't make a name, or when you die and go to hell, there's nothing the name you made in the war will do to you in hell. It's like if you are in hell, the more they are singing your secular song in the world, the more they flock you more in hell. It's like, you know, mommy, Jew. The devil does not know how to give good gifts. Somebody saw a vision about somebody that died, and the person died, and the person has a religion in the world. So his religion has about 5 million people. About 2 million have already died. You understand? Like, it's just like a church, a very popular church that has been there for 80s, since 80s. If you want to check, like, how many people have died in such a church, there may be up to 2 million people. So they said that about 2 million have already died. 3 million are still around. So when the man died, the man appeared before Lucifer. Lucifer told him, "Wow, this is so wonderful. I'm so glad to see you. You're welcome. You have won me 5 million people. I have preserved a gift for you." And went and took a glass of acid. The devil does not know how to give people good gifts. The Bible says all good and perfect gifts comes from the Lord. All good. So all the goods, if God gives you goods, all the good has finished. The devil doesn't have anyone to give you. All good. All good. So he said, "I have a gift I've been preserving for you. And brought a cup of acid." Say, "For giving me 5 million people. 2 are already here. 3 million are on their way here. 2 million are already here." He said, "This is the kissing." He said, he drank the acid. And the acid burns all his... Because one of the things in hell is that you feel the real effects of the fire. You feel the real effects of everything. But you don't die. The thing burned all his intestines. And they were laughing at him. Even if you are saving the devil does not have any good gifts for you. Because for you to even save the devil, he deceived you enough to save him. So it's not by your power that you are saving him. It was through his deception. And in hell, Satan will punish you based on how he hates God. I don't know if somebody hates your mother before and knock you. Knock you because of the hatred he has for your mother. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's not knocking you for you. He's knocking you for the sins of the father. So how devil is going to punish the people that will go to hell is on how much the devil hates God.
for all that God has done for him, for all the Jesus that we used to mention, and he deals with, the devil will now deal with all the people that will go there. Now, Nabin, they shout Jesus. May they kneel down. Because the Bible says, at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. So now they shout Jesus. You say, no, with me. He said, now they're connected. Don't beat you well. Just escape hell. Look. Just try and tell your neighbor, escape hell. Tell your neighbor, find a way and miss hell. Tell your neighbor, don't be here and go to hell again. All right, he said, there's nothing to be remembered. There will be no remembrance. Don't do things and say, oh, I want to be remembered when I die. I want to be remembered when I die. When they mention my name. Who that won't help? When they mention my name. When you enter some silly, stupid cults, there are some cults that you know that the people that have entered this cult are all illiterates. Because even the promises they give to you are all illiterate, fool in nature. They'll tell you that if you die for banter, you know, say you don't die real dead. Oh God, oh. Father, wash our brain. Make us to think correctly. So if two clash happen, they don't say, ah, solo, you die real dead. You die as a man. You die as a man. Now how woman they die? You die as a man. You die for a good cause. You die for a good cause. Dead that as you just die, you don't even die finish. Demons have stood and they've carried you. You say, I know die finish. I know die. I see they breathe small. They say, you no go survive. You no go survive. They carry you go here. That's the one they are telling you, you have died a real dead. They say, you have died real dead. You've died as a man. You've died as a man for your burial. All the beer we don't go drink, I go give. When people die, others come around and say some rubbish that they don't mean it. The things they don't mean, they just come around and say some nonsense they don't mean. They say, cut! Solo, solo. As you die, so. You are forever in our hearts. For where? It's a lie. That's cool. You are not forever in their hearts. So. The only person that can tell you, as you've died now, you are forever in my heart, is Christ. Imagine after many, many years, rapture will take place. The Bible said the dead in Christ shall be resurrected. So we were forever in his heart. Not people that, the guy don't die. Everybody wear black polo on Friday. You carry candle. Candle say, well, you borrow from somebody. You are not get candle. They didn't even buy candle for the guy. Now get candle. They just borrow me one candle. Break your candle. Maybe use more. Just, no.
Live a life that you remember.
And they win. The wind is trying to tell you that you are lying. The wind will be coming to blow off the candle. You know, say, let me get back this. And just, and let's do 1 minute silence for him. Where is it? He just do 1 minute silence. And he said, die, you're forever in our hearts. You're forever in our hearts. You're not forever in anybody's hearts. The moment they bury you, life goes on. Do you understand what I'm teaching you? Do you understand what I'm teaching you? The only person you need to live for is the person that died for you. And that person is Jesus. Every other thing is rubbish. There is no remembrance. Give me another verse. 12. Quickly, verse 12. I, the preacher, was a king over Israel in Jerusalem. He's telling you he's CB now. I, this preacher that's talking now. This guy that's a preacher now. I was a king in Israel over the whole of Israel in Jerusalem. Go to verse 13. Quickly. And I gave my heart to seek out by wisdom concerning all that are done under heavens. This saw travail had God given to the Son of Man to be exercised therewith. All right, verse 14. I had seen all the work that are done under the Son, and behold, all of it is vanity and vexation of spirit. I've seen all the things that is done under the wall, I've studied it. I've studied it, I've checked it, I've tried it. I've studied all the things that is done. I've seen that all of it is vanity. And they are vexation of spirit. Vexation of spirit. Can I explain to you what is vexation of spirit? They are that which brings down the spirit of man. Brings down the spirit of somebody. It gets God angry with you. So his spirit strives with you. So it's not still good. I've seen all that, the works of men. I've seen what people do. None of it is profitable. It's not worth dying for. Okay, let's get another one. All right. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. All right, next one. I commune with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to a great extent, and I have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. This is like somebody who is the first class person in their faculty. He says, yes, I commune with my own heart, saying, he's telling you his regret. He says, I communicate with my own heart, saying, lo, that lo, you can put your name. Maria, I have come to a great estate. I have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been in this faculty before me. In Jerusalem, in Acts 2. Yeah, my heart is great. I've got great experience of wisdom and knowledge. Okay, continue. Wow, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness. I gave my heart to know wisdom. I wanted to know things. In my drive to know things and know things and know things and know things, I started knowing madness. Who would have believed that the most wisest person in the world, he's trapped into marrying very many people and having 1,000 ladies assigned for him? Madness. I gave my heart to know wisdom, and I ended up knowing madness. And foolishness. Fully means foolishness. And I perceive that that also is a vexation of the spirit. I perceive that that draw out the anointing from me. It took away the presence of God from me. It makes God's spirit to be angry with me. Because I was trying to know wisdom. I got to know madness. Madness. Sometimes you find some people that want to know wisdom. They want to be so wise. They want to be so intelligent. They say, I've done that man something. You see, sometimes you find a lady who is collecting money from a man. I don't want to marry him. I'm using him to just... You feel you are wise. You don't know you are becoming mad. Because now, when Solomon was wise, he never knew he was becoming mad. It is now that he has repented. He says, I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness. There are times that people just want to know madness, like the settler. This homosexuality that they even talk about, I would love to just experience it. This one, they say that somebody sleeps with an animal. I would love to experience it. You are definitely mad. Do you understand? They say some coppers, ladies, they search the bags of coppers in the camp, and they discover thousands of vibrators. They have to call camp to camp to check their bags. Vibrators. A lady's bag fell down on the ground. Vibrator ran out. Our innocent brother, you may not know what is vibrators. No, it's not brothers. Our brothers, you may not know what is vibrators. Trying to know wisdom, you have known madness. You have become foolish in trying to know wisdom. Sometimes, you see, the devil makes it look like if you don't know madness, you are not wise. You now want to be like other friends. Say, my friends, you know, if they are talking and I don't talk along, it looks like I'm so silly. It looks like I'm not exposed. It looks like I'm not experienced. It looks like I'm just JJC. They used to mock at me. My friends mock at me that I know nothing, that I'm a baby, that they call me mommy's child, that I'm a baby. I don't know anything. Because of that, you are exposed to madness. Every Friday, people will feel that you have gone to see your parents. They don't know. And you are going weekend for someone else. So whenever you appear in the compound, the friends of the boyfriend and say, oh, our wife has come. You have become somebody's wife. You have known madness. You are destroying your life. Solomon said, this is vanity. It's only a foolish person that wants to encounter all that Solomon went through to also know his vanity. Pastor, let's go back there. What's another transition saying? Okay, I applied my mind to know wisdom and knowledge, madness and foolishness. And I learned that these two is a pursuit of the wind. These two is vanity. Learning to know madness is vanity. There are some guys that we used to have in secondary school. They are so wise. They are so wise. They can tell you 10 places to touch in a woman and get her high. 10 places. These guys are like people that write hints. Very wise. If you have problem in your relationship, you just go and meet them. They tell you, what did you do? What did you do? What did you do? Did you used to have those kind of foolish person? Or have you been that foolish before? They are like advisors. They advise people on women affairs. They advise. If you just have some problems, say that I've been looking for that girl. I know if you get the girl. They say, meet Victor. Meet Victor. That one, Victor. And you just meet Victor. Victor said, what do you have? Drop your consultation fee. I mean, secondary school, though. Drop your consultation fee. Just drop 200 and I said, so what is the matter? I said, this. Consultation fee, just drop. One day I met one mad guy like that in my secondary school days. I said, the girl is not calling me. He's not calling. And this thing says, so you drop consultation fee. I dropped. He said, I want to give you wisdom, the wise wisdom of the wise man. He says, don't call her. First day, don't call her. 2 days, don't call her. 3 days, don't call her. If you stay 3 days, you should see she'll be the one calling you. Me, that I started to learn madness newly. I didn't know. So I stayed first day, I couldn't stay. Second day, I still didn't stay. So before the second day is over, I now called the lady. The lady answered, I said, don't call me again, don't call me again. So I now called him. He said, did you call? He said, yes. He said, you have spoiled the wisdom of the wise man. I said, you have spoiled the wisdom of the wise man. I said, don't call. You are not making it look like I didn't advise you well. Okay, so now, fresh 3 days. I said, okay, I'll try. He said, delete her number. He said, delete. Go and write it somewhere in a book you will not find. So I hope you don't have the number in your head. I said, I did not have it yet. And before 3 days, the thing happened. Just like. Just like the juju priest. So you now see that there are times you want to know madness and the devil helps you to do it. Helps you, give you more tools, help you to do it. So the man said, I gave my heart to know wisdom and my heart to know foolishness. But I've discovered that all this is what? Vanity. Give me the 18th one. I think that should be the last verse. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increased in knowledge increased in sorrow. Can I explain this to you? In much wisdom is much grief. If you know the symptom of cancers, if you know the symptom of cancer, there are some problems you have. You just have some symptoms and you can't sleep anymore. But you would have been very, very well if you didn't know that symptom. You would have been very fine if you did not know that symptom. You just knew the symptoms of COVID. This is normal thing. Ever since you were born, there are times that you have fever. What symptom in COVID is not in other things? Nothing. But from the day you knew the symptoms of COVID, and you cannot perceive anything, you can say, I don't even get COVID self. I don't even get COVID-19 self. And you start panicking. So the Bible says, in much knowledge, increase your sorrows. In more wisdom, you increase your grief. So whenever anybody chases wisdom and there's no God in it, it ends up in madness. Ends up in madness. Can I give you an example of somebody like that? Soyinka. Soyinka. Wole Soyinka, professor. The prof. Somebody who entered the U.S. to study African philosophy. And they brought a book for him to use and study African philosophy. And he called them and said, please, I can't use this book to study. This is the book I wrote when I was in secondary school. It's like me now, I'm going to US to go and study on pastoring. And they are using introduction to pastoring. And I say, I can't study it. They say, why? I say, I can't study it. I can't study. I can't be in this class. And they say, why? I say, I wrote the book. And I didn't write it now. I wrote it when I was in secondary school. I can't study it. What a wise man. I say, I can't study it. They have to give him masters. Automatic. They had to go down to his primary school, check who was his headmaster, made the inquiry and so on. The moment they discovered that that's true, they gave him masters. He made third class in Nigeria. The Nigerian can frustrate you until you don't even know your words. But you see, this man became wiser and wiser and wiser and got into foolishness. Got into foolishness. If you go to places like other African countries, you see that other African countries are more safer than Nigeria in crime and so on. As in, When you go to banks in Ghana or other African countries, you see that their banks are just like this. They just put glass door. They just slide it. The sliding glass door, it's just like eatery, bank. You'll be passing on the street and see people counting money. And they don't have issues of robbery and all of that. But you see the introduction of cultism that the man brought. The introduction of cultism becomes the origin of all the kinds of crime that you can ever think of. So Nigeria is high in crime because of the presence of cultism. Do you know what cultism does? This is what cultism does. Cultism goes with initiation. Initiation is that you get enough power from the kingdom of darkness to be able to do what Satan would have done if Satan was around. So that's what initiation carries in cultism. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand the things I'm teaching you? So you now see that the wisdom the man was chasing without Christ led into a great foolishness. If I tell you about the seven nicknames that the man has, you'll be terrified. Very, very wicked, wicked, wicked names. Yeah. Let's bow our heads, everybody. I gave my heart to know wisdom. I gave my heart to know wisdom. And to know madness and foolishness. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. It's vanity. That is why Paul said, that I may know you and the power of your resurrection. Not to know wisdom, not to know madness, not to know foolishness, not to know what the world is doing, but to know you, that I may know you and the power of your resurrection. I want you in a few minutes to start praying right now. Your prayer is, Lord, may my life not be full of regrets. May my walk and my life on earth not be full of regrets, Lord. Guide my step, Lord Jesus, into righteousness. How I wish I can hear your voice talk to God. Guide my heart into righteousness. Righteousness is the nature of God. There are times you want to get wise and you end up becoming foolish or mad. Guide me into righteousness. Guide me into godliness, Lord. Guide me into your ways, oh Lord. Guide me into your thoughts. Guide me in your spirit. I don't see you taking this prayer point serious. The big lesson here is that what somebody was praying for as his greatest prayer point became his sorrow. Solomon was praying for wisdom as his greatest prayer point. Now his wisdom has ended him in madness. So your prayer is, God, guide my heart, guide my thoughts, guide my life. Help me to think like you. Help me to love you, Lord. Let my heart not be full of madness. Let my heart seek to know you. Let my heart be full of you. Let my heart be full of your glory. Let my heart be full of your power. Let my heart be full of your anointing. Let my heart be full of your glory. Let me think of you. Let me think of you. When I'm sleeping, when I wake up, wherever I go to, let my thoughts be around you. Let my heart be guided with you. Let my heart be guided. Let my soul be guided. Let my spirit be guided. Don't let the devil come into my heart, Lord, and spoil who I am, Lord. Let my spirit be guided by you.
Jesus. Bow your heads, everybody. Let's pray together. Father, I pray for your great presence, Lord. We have learned that everything we chase in life, including wisdom, something we feel that it will make us better than others, amounts to vanity. But the only thing we can chase and have profit in life is to chase you, is to follow you, is to look for you, is to follow after righteousness. That's why you told us to follow after righteousness. It's to follow righteousness. It's to follow Jesus. And Lord, we pray right now that you give us the grace. Give us the grace to follow you, Lord. Give us the grace to follow you. Give us the grace to follow after wisdom. Give us the grace to follow after wisdom, Lord. We pray for your presence, Lord. We pray for your anointing, Lord. We pray for your glory in our lives, Lord. We pray against the trick of the enemy in our lives. And we pray that your glory will settle in us. Your spirit will settle in us. I can hear your amen. Your spirit will settle in us. The wisdom from above will settle in us, Lord. Cause our hearts to long after you. Cause our soul to long after you. Cause our spirit to long after you, our Lord. Cause us to grieve after you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. As you keep bowing your heads, everybody, I want to give a special time right now. So souls that want to give their life to Christ, if you are here, you want to give your soul a chance to enjoy from the living water. Jesus was talking to the woman and said, there's something you've not enjoyed yet. You've been trying to enjoy things, but there's something you've not enjoyed. You've not enjoyed the living water that the moment you drink, you don't thirst again. If you're here, you want to give your soul that opportunity to test God. You've tested every other thing. You've tested wisdom. You've tested every other thing, but you've not tested God. I want to give you an opportunity right now. All I need you to do is to lift your hand above your head if you want to receive Jesus right now, and I'm going to pray for you from here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for a hand lifted up. I pray for you as your hands are lifted up right now. I pray that the presence of God is upon you. I pray that the grace of the Lord is upon you. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. I pray that God start a work in your life from this minute. May God start a work in your life from this minute. May the glory of the Lord take place in your heart from this minute. May the power of the Lord lead you into the righteousness of God. I bind the power of darkness. I bind the spirit of madness. I bind the demonic power. I bind every devilish power. And I pray in the name of Jesus that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every flaws of the enemy, plans of the enemy, plights of the devil around your life, I destroy it. And I speak right now that salvation has met you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Do it better than that. Clap better for Jesus.